Jerry's going to speak again today. To those of us who are regular attenders here at New Crossing, Jerry should not be a stranger to us because he is one of us, and it's really great to have people that are here that can and speak to us and do the message. Jerry, for those of you who are not familiar with him, I see we have a lot of visitors here today, and it's really great to have you. Welcome. Jerry has he and his wife Bunny joined us how long ago, Jerry? Maybe a year and a half. Okay. And they were pastors. Jerry was a pastor in Illinois, and he had been there for like 30 years, and he had just recently retired, and he and Bunny moved into this area, and God sent us a wonderful gift when he sent both of them to us. So it's great to come on up, Jerry. I'll pray for you. And I should grab that. You got it? Okay. So, Lord, we thanks so much for Jerry, God. I so appreciate him, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would anoint him this morning, Lord, with the words that you want him to speak into our hearts and into our lives. And God, I pray that you'd open our ears to hear, God, and I pray that you would open our minds, Lord, to understand what you want to say, and open our hearts, God, to be open to those changes, Lord, that you want to make in our lives to make us more like you. And God, just bless the words, God, that Jerry speaks today, those words, Lord, given by you. I know that his heart is in total submission to you, God, and use this humble servant in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Am I on? I'm going to talk again this morning on prayer. Woohoo. We went through Luke's Gospel 11, the parable of the persistent widow, and that dealt with prayer. I do know more subjects than prayer, but I don't know a subject that is as important as prayer. So I want to speak about that a little bit more today. This was a choice between, could you give me just a little more volume? My voice feels weak today. Been having vocal cord issues. This was a choice between this set of scriptures and Luke 18, the parable of the unjust judge, which is another parable on prayer. But I felt like James 5 spoke to me and is something that we can get something out of today together. So I want to pray, or I want to talk about, and I entitled the message, Praying Like Elijah. How many are familiar with who Elijah is? Amen. Mighty man of God, prophet of God. You know, somebody that we elevate, put up there, and maybe even hearing the title, you're going, there's no way I could pray like that guy. But as we go through this, let's find out if that's true or not. Can we pray together? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today. This issue of prayer is one that I know each one of us struggles with. I know in my own life I've struggled with it on and off in various ways, developing a prayer life, being consistent in prayer, wondering about those times where it just seems like prayer isn't doing anything. Rejoicing in those times when prayer just seems to just work like magic, which I know isn't what it is, but just answers come with hardly any effort whatsoever. And so, Lord, we know that as we approach this subject again, that we have all struggled, and we've had our victories, we've had our defeats, and we've had our questions. And all in all, we come to you this morning and ask that you just open our hearts and open our eyes, that we might understand a little more about this subject of prayer. And we ask these things in Jesus' blessed name, and all of God's people said, amen. Really appreciate Pastor Craig and Pastor Jill, and sorry that I have to go through that surgery and the pain that's involved in that. Sorry, Jill, that you have to take care of him. But it was an honor for him to ask me, of all people, to fill in for him. I always consider it an honor to do that. So with that, if you would turn to James chapter 5, and we'll read 13 through 18, but we'll just focus on a few verses at first. So I'm in the ESVS translation, or the ESV. Like I said a couple weeks ago, I got sold on that translation after looking through Luke 11. And the more that I read it, the more I see the accuracy in it. So not to diminish any other translation that's out there. They're all good. They all have something to offer. And it's always good to have various translations in your library and do comparative studies and find out why translators chose to say things a certain way and whatever. But today we're reading from the ESV. James says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. I thought when I read that, no pressure, elders. Yeah, no pressure on you there. And if he has committed sin, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And I love the way that the ESV phrases this. Sticks right, almost a literal translation from the Greek, and it's a powerful statement. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. And then James goes on to talks about, my brothers, if anyone you wanders from the truth, and so forth and so on. The context here in this passage has to do with the church and relationships in the church and caring for one another, praying for one another, just one anothering one another as we should. Amen. But, you know, we pull this out and we're going to just kind of focus on one aspect of it. What I'd like to do is reread 17 and 18 to begin with. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Now, in reading that passage, what would you say the reason that it did not rain? Because Elijah prayed. And what would you say was the reason why it did rain? Because Elijah prayed. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of prayer life? Amen. But if we turn to 1 Kings 17 and look at the reference that James is making, we get a little different view, a little different angle on this. And so in 1 Kings 17:1, and again, keep in mind that the subject matter is, or the topic is, praying like Elijah prayed, or praying like Elijah. My premise is that all of us can pray like Elijah prayed. All of us can get the results. All of us can be Elijahs and pray like Elijah prayed. But I want to just take it apart a little bit here first so that we can see what happened. So in 1 Kings 17, verse 1, it says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe," he was a Tishbite because he went around biting these guys. I actually practiced that one last night. And there's still some of you that just are stone face, cold, not even a smile. "Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab," Ahab was the king, "'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word.'" Now, what happened there? The Lord said that there won't be rain. So when we look at that, why is the reason that there wasn't any rain? Because the Lord said. And then if you go into 1 Kings 18:1, and there wasn't any rain for the length of time. There was a drought. In 1 Kings 18:1, it says, "After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth.'" And if you skip down to, did I say 18:1? Okay, if you skip down to 18:41, it says, "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of rushing rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees." I read one commentary that said that that was a position of how Asian Oriental women gave birth, is that they would squat down, put their face between their knees, and they'd get in the process of giving birth. And as we move along here, I really believe that when we have a true word from the Lord, prayer gives birth to the will of God on the earth. And so anyway, Elijah's up there, and he bows down and puts his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." And at the seventh time he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And so what that is like, you know how you can block the sun out with your hand? Well, obviously, you couldn't do that if you're right next to the sun. But this little cloud was a huge storm that was on its way. But it was that distant that the servant could put his hand up and block the view of it. But nonetheless, it was on its way. So rain was on its way as Elijah was praying. And he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, 'Prepare your chariot, go down lest the rain stop you.' And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain." Now, in 1 Kings 18:1, again, it says, "After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain.'" So what is this saying was the reason rain came? Because God said it. So between these two narratives in James and in 1 Kings, did it not rain and then rain because God said so? Or did it rain because Elijah prayed? James says Elijah prayed and it rained. Then it says, well, reverse order, it says he didn't pray and it didn't rain. And of course, we see in 1 Kings just the opposite. The Lord says. So did it not rain and then rain because God said so? Or did it rain because Elijah prayed? And the answer to that is yes. It's both. It's both. God wants to partner with humanity, and I believe that's why he created us, created Adam and Eve, gave us dominion, wanted to partnership with us in the affairs of earth. And so, yes, he is sovereign, and he can do whatever he wants to do, when he wants to do it, if he wants to do it. I mean, no one's going to take that away from him. He's sovereign. But yet in his sovereignty, he has chosen to set up certain ways in which he's going to function on the earth through his creation. And one of these ways was partnering with his creation, with his humanity. You know, quite often the will of God isn't done because of either our acts of disobedience or whatever it may be. He'll find someone else maybe to do it if we choose not to do what he's spoken to us to do. But the will of God can be thwarted because he's in his sovereignty chosen to partner with us. Now, ultimately, God's going to get done what he needs to get done. You know, Jesus is going to come back. The new heavens and the new earth are going to be established. All of that's going to take place. But along the way, there is a partnership. God bless you. I think of Anna and Simeon, and I may have mentioned this before when I talked about the Lord's Prayer, but they, I think it was, what did I say her name was? Anna. She was in the temple after her husband died. It said that she spent the rest of her life in the temple praying for the consolation of Israel or the Messiah to come. That was her assignment from God, to pray. And when Jesus was brought to the temple to be dedicated, she said, now I see, you know, what I've been praying for all these years. So God was going to send the Messiah, but yet he had somebody assigned to pray. And I'm sure she wasn't the only one. There's Simeon also. A man of God who spent time in the temple looking for the Messiah to come. And so God, and finally he saw the Messiah. So God partners with us. There's another scripture, and I'm not sure where it's at, where it says that God doesn't do anything without first letting the prophets know. And I know that's a bad paraphrase. And again, we can take that to extremes. We have to be careful with any of this, that we don't go to the extreme over here in that God needs us completely and he can't do anything without us, or go to the extreme where, you know, he doesn't need us at all and he's just going to do whatever he wants to do. We can't go to those extremes. We have to try to find what God is communicating to us through this issue of prayer and obedience and witness. It's the same with witnessing. He's called us to go and tell the good news to others, to go and bless others, to be a blessing to others. And to me, that is phenomenal, that he, you know, how great are the stakes, you know, that are out there, that he put this work in the hands of man to get done, to look for people who will obey and follow through and share and give testimony to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Elijah didn't pray for, does this make sense to you? Amen. Elijah didn't pray for rain because Elijah wanted it to rain. It wasn't just something like, boy, it'd be nice if it rained. I'm getting tired of this drought. He prayed for rain in response to what God had decided to do. And that's the secret to powerful praying. finding the will of God for a situation. Whatever situation you find yourself in, some of the first praying we should do is found in James 1. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give liberally to you. And so we get the mind of the Lord on a thing, and then once we have the mind of the Lord on it, it isn't necessarily going to happen automatically. He wants us then to pray it, give birth to it, if you will. And there's things that the Lord has spoken to the pastors and the elders of this church, and they pray over it, and sometimes they ask us, and gives us things that we need to pray over so that God can bring these things to pass on the earth. Amen. Powerful prayer is prayed when praying for the known will of God. God reveals to us his will to do a thing, then asks us to ask him to do it. Isn't that weird? He asks us to ask him to do what he already wants to do. Pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what he wants. He wants his will done on earth as it is in heaven. And so he asks us to pray that. And so it's just, I can't explain it. It's a strange dynamic, but it's an invitation from God to partner with him. And so I try in my life to obey that to the best of my ability. God invites us into a partnership to accomplish his will on the earth. Prayer is an intricate aspect of that partnership. And this is the thing. He's qualified each one of us to be a person of powerful prayer. He's qualified each one of us to be a person of powerful prayer. James 5:13, well, actually, we'll just skip down to 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Again, I like how ESV put this because that's pretty much how it was said in the original. And there's other things, you know, other translations talk about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's the King James. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I always thought, man, was my prayer, you know, effectual enough? Was it fervent enough? Was it, you know, all these things. And I always disqualified myself because I always felt like I just didn't pray strong enough, or I didn't have enough heart in it, or whatever it is. But it just simply says the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I think that's good news. If prayer is commanded, we find in James 5, it's listed at least 3 or 4 times, verse 13, 14, 15, 16. So it is something that God has asked us to do, yea, even commanded us to do. That's my King James for the day. We don't necessarily like the idea of being commanded by God, and that brings sometimes guilt and condemnation onto some people, but don't be guilted into anything. Just let God speak to your heart about how important prayer is, and don't disqualify yourself as we go along. We find in this set of verses that prayer is necessary, and we talked a little bit about this, that things do hang in the balance at times. It does matter if we do or don't pray. Prayer matters because prayer affects things. It says that the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working, as it is affecting. in various translations, puts it and uses that term. In Ezekiel 22, talked about God looking for a man to stand in the gap so that he wouldn't judge a people. And he couldn't find anyone, and so therefore he had to pour out his judgment. Prayer does matter. It makes a difference. And to me, that is a good motivation. I need to know that what I'm doing makes a difference. Amen. It's not just something I'm going through, emotion I'm going through, a religious activity. I need to know that it makes a difference, that there's a need there, and it makes a difference whether I do it or not. I would do it simply to obey God, but to me it's much more motivating to know that it's necessary and that it's needed in the economy of God. Again, though God wills a thing, he invites us to partner with him to bring it about. Some say prayer doesn't change anything, it just changes us. Now, I believe that prayer does change us. And as we pray, God speaks to our hearts, and he's in the mode of correcting things in our lives as we draw close to God. There's different types of prayer. There's devotional type praying. There's intercession, where you're deeply involved in praying for others and so forth. And there's prayers of thanksgiving, and there's prayers of praise. And there's different types of prayers, so they don't all just fit in one mold. But prayer does change us, but that isn't the purpose, the primary purpose. The primary purpose is to partner with God to advance the kingdom of God. Amen. As we pray, things begin to work and continue to work. It says that a prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. It affects the spiritual realm. When we pray, it affects the spirit realm. When we pray, it affects the spirit realm. As Westerners, we don't think much about that realm. It's not on our minds a lot, and it's not like we should dwell on it. And you know. But there is that realm, and we hit on it, I believe, when it did talk about the Lord's Prayer, and Paul talks about, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spirits of wickedness and so forth and so on. And we do that in prayer. There are spiritual entities and spiritual powers that are at work against the will and purposes of God for the earth. And our prayers always, always affects that realm. When we are praying for God's will to be done, no matter what the scenario, no matter what the situation, it always affects it somehow. And again, I think of the Daniel as an example. We use that a lot, where he prayed, set himself to pray, and 21 days later, the answer came, as an angel came and brought him the answer. But during those 21 days, Daniel was unaware of the fact that there was a spiritual battle going on, where Gabriel and who's the other dude? Michael were wrestling over Persia and in the spirit realm. You know, Daniel didn't need to know that. We don't need to know what's going on in the spirit realm so that we can call things out and pull them down or bind them up or whatever it is. Sometimes God maybe will reveal that to us, but that isn't necessary. What's necessary is to realize that our prayers are at work. They are at work. They're at work. Over the years of being a Christian, I just know that prayers are at work. We went through a building program when I was pastoring. which I don't recommend anyone ever to do again, or for the first time. We were in a location that it seemed like City Hall and the building, person in charge of building and all that were just completely against the idea of a church going in. We had so much opposition, so many contractors that let us down, general contractors. I ended up general contracting it myself, which I'm not a general contractor, which proved itself to be true. But we got it done, but the battle was fierce and fierce and fierce. And even to get the permit to open the doors for the first day, I just felt the need from the Lord to stay. I took a cot into the building, was basically up and was ready to go and needed a final inspection, and the guy was dragging his feet. But I had a cot, and I put it in my office what was going to be my office, and I stayed there the whole night, and I just prayed. And just, I didn't know what to pray. I just was crying out to God. Tried that for a while, and I beat up the devil for a while, and I, repented for a while. I just was in there. There was an intensity that was in there in my spirit. There was something going on, and I didn't know exactly what to say and do, and that's okay. God knows our heart. But I believe those prayers were being effective because by that weekend we were allowed to have our first service in our new building. And so don't ever think your prayers don't matter. They are at work. They begin to work the moment we begin to pray, and they always have an effect. Then it goes on to say that, and this is what I want to get at, when do I need to stop? At 15:15? Okay. It's all followers of Jesus can pray powerful, effective prayers. The prayers of a righteous man have great power as it's working. And it goes on to say, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Now we think of Elijah and we think, man, this guy was a prophet. He accomplished great things for God. Of course he's going to get God to answer him, and God's gonna, Elijah's just, he's the man. Amen. He appeared with Jesus at the Transfiguration. Elijah, Jesus, Moses. He was it. He was close. He was close with God. But you know what? James is saying, but he was still just a human being like you and I. He was full of flaws and failures and frailties. And James is, I believe, encouraging us to realize that though Elijah was put in some of these places that God used him in mighty ways, which was the calling on his life, yet he was just a man, just a human being like you and I. We can pray Elijah-type prayers. We can be powerful in prayer. Because Elijah was just a man like a nature like ours. And it said that he prayed fervently in one translation. But that actually just means he prayed with prayer. The Young translation says in James 5:17, Elijah was a man like affected as we are. I thought that was funny. He's affected like we are, good old Elijah, It doesn't say he was infected, but it says that he was affected like we are. That's not the poor guy. But it says, in the Young's translation, it says, Elijah was a man like affected as we, and with prayer he did pray. With prayer he did pray, which is basically what the Greek is saying. And that's called a tautology, which we don't need to remember and all of that. But it's a way that Hebrews spoke at times. And it's a saying of the same thing twice in different words, used to enforce or reinforce an idea. And the basic idea is that Elijah prayed. He prayed with prayer. Amen. I mean, this guy prayed with prayer. He didn't just say, I'll pray for you. How many times do we do that? Don't feel bad if you've done that and never prayed for the person. I'm not trying to get you, but, you know, I'll pray for you, or you'll be in my prayers, and so forth and so on. Elijah prayed with prayer, and we need to be people who pray with prayer. Amen. Just say it. Not just say the words, but pray. So even though Elijah was this powerful man of God, he was still human with flaws and frailties. And so we could pray and get results like Elijah did. It was quite a statement and an encouragement to pray. Elijah had a nature like ours, and he prayed with prayer that it didn't rain, and it didn't rain, and then it did rain, and it did rain. James is saying to us, we can pray like that. He says it after listing various things to pray about as a church, as a people gathered together, praying for one another. And you look up the word prayer just throughout the scriptures, Paul praying for, you know, all the people that he pastors, and he's asking for prayer, and he's, you know, it just, prayer, it just saturates the New Testament. And we just need to understand that we can pray like Elijah prayed. Our prayers matter. Our prayers are effective. And the reason that his prayers were effective, and this is important for us to grasp, and I mentioned it already, but the reason that Elijah's prayers were effective is that he prayed what God told him to pray. And this is really where the rubber meets the road, I think. Praying what God speaks to us. And again, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give to you liberally if you ask in faith. So no matter what you face personally in your personal life, you know, pray and ask God, you know, what's going on? What's up? You know, how do you want me to pray for this? What are you doing? And he'll speak to you in one way or another, typically through his word. He'll speak to you, maybe just something somebody says to you. Maybe it's a book you happen to be reading. It has to be in line with his word, obviously. It has to be in line with his will. Can't be from way out there, oh yeah, God told me to divorce my wife and marry so-and-so. I mean, it can't be that kind of weird thing. Amen. It has to be in line with God's word. But if we pray and seek the Lord, firstly, about what it is he really wants to do, then pray and ask him to do it, we will find that our prayers will be much more powerful and effective. Amen? Then he goes on to say, or it goes on to say in James, that the prayer of a righteous person. How many of you are righteous in this room? Amen. You hesitate to raise your hand because you know doggone well you probably fought with a wife on the way to church. You probably kicked the cat or did whatever it is you did this week. You know, you probably gossiped a little, or you did something wrong, or had a bad attitude, or you sinned or did something, and so you disqualify yourself. We do that. We disqualify ourselves. But God is the one who has made us righteous in Christ Jesus. And though we fail, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right, Jill? I remember hearing that on Thursday. But we are righteous in Christ Jesus. And a very popular and very well-known set of scriptures is found in 2 Corinthians 5. If we can turn there. Is any of this making sense? Okay. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And you are in Christ the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. So how many of you are righteous? Some of you just are not going to participate in this, right? It doesn't matter what we do up here. It just doesn't. If you are in Christ Jesus, which you are, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has put you in right standing with himself. Righteousness does not mean perfect. Righteousness means that you are in right standing with God. Well, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. Amen? If you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who died for your sin and rose again from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and is Lord of all, you've been made righteous. You've been made right in God's presence. So the prayers of a righteous person, the prayers of a person who is made right, has great power in its working. So that means you. Say that. Say, that means me. Say it again. That means me. And I know that some of you are saying it with hesitation. Maybe it hasn't proven true in your life, your prayer life. You know, you've tried it out and it just doesn't seem like it's working for you or not. But I encourage you to continue to grow, continue to learn. My mind is very analytical. I'm not saying I'm smart, it's just analytical. It hasn't come to a lot of conclusions yet, but I had to try to figure out, what is this prayer thing about? And I did this, I held my tongue just right when I said the prayer, and you know, I confessed the right thing. I used the King James and confessed it through the King James and did all the things, and it didn't seem like it worked. And, you know, I had to struggle through all of that type of stuff. And you think it is funny, actually, look in the mirror and rehearse that. But we all have our struggles. So, but God is there. Amen. And he'll bring us through that. We continue to just seek him. And we don't have to do it perfectly. He simply said the prayers of a person that's made right with God are great in its working. Your prayers matter. Your prayers are effective. I do wish, and hopefully as the weather is better for Bunny and I, we'll make it on Tuesday nights, because really enjoy that time as you pray prayers. Pray prayers for the church. Pray prayers for you. Pray prayers for those in need. And just pray for the church in general throughout the Dane County area and so forth. You know that the ministry of the church, one of the ministries of the church, the reason for the church to exist is for prayer. It's not a ministry in that it's one of, you know, a dozen things that we do. Besides the proclamation of the gospel, the ministry of the church is prayer, because this is where God releases his will on the earth, at least the part that he wants us to partnership with him on. Amen. So it's great. Outside of our personal lives that we want to pray over, we pray over the bigger things, the kingdom of God and missions and the world and so forth and so on. I need to just really pick it up here. The word prayer, and I want to get this, the prayer of a righteous man, that word prayer comes from a Greek word, desis, and it means entreaty, petition, request, or supplicate. I've always enjoyed the word supplicate. I don't know why, but I've enjoyed that word. But it gives me the picture of, yes, an intensity or something that's coming from the depth of my being in making a request. There's been times where things have occurred in my life, and maybe it's interacting with another person, and the need was so great, and no was not an answer. No was not a possibility. No was not an option. That I continued to insist and insist and insist and insist until I got my way. And it wasn't a bad thing that I needed. It was just like an injustice that was being done. And I insisted on the justice to be done. And that's what that word supplicate is. It's this insistence. But again, I want us to not think that we have to badger God to get him to do things. But there is that deep sense of this must happen. And that's what the word prayer, deesis, means. It comes from a shorter word, de, which means it is necessary. It's inevitable. It must, of necessity, happen. We find this word in the following verses in Luke's. I know this is a lot of information to take in. I'm sorry. You find it in these verses in Luke 4. He said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Must. That's that word D, or desis. Must. Not an option. Must. Luke 9:22, the Son of Man must suffer many things. Again, not an option. Must, of necessity. And he told them a parable in Luke 18:1, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. That word ought there is deis, or must. It's of necessity. And that's the word prayer in the prayer of a righteous man. It must. It has to be answered. All of these uses that I just listed are imperatives. The absolute necessity of the action is needed. So this kind of prayer must be answered. The prayer of a righteous man, the supplication of a righteous man, a person in right standing with God. When we approach God knowing his will, and we come to him with a boldness, not insisting, this must be answered or I'm not talking to you for a week. It's not that kind of thing. It's that intensity of the heart. Anyway, I'm going to stop. there and maybe finish up next week with the rest of the verses. But I want you to know, as the worship team comes up, I want you to know that your prayers are powerful. And if you're here today and you just don't sense that or feel that, or maybe you've given up on praying, hopefully today you've been encouraged, or let God encourage you. You can play a little something. Let God encourage you to once again start praying. Don't give up on it. The other subject I was going to talk about was Luke 18, that men ought always pray and not lose heart, not faint, not grow weary. And I just encourage you, and I believe the Lord is encouraging you today, to don't lose heart, don't grow weary. And if you have already, there's many that are like you that have. But we must pick up this thing called prayer again. And approach it with wisdom. Approach it with less condemnation on yourself. If you don't think you're good enough, know that you are in Jesus Christ. He's made you good enough. He's qualified you to pray Elijah prayers. And for those of you who you have a prayer life and you want it to go even stronger, I just encourage you to go deeper with it. Continue to seek the Lord. Continue to know what His will is, and look bigger and beyond even the areas that you're praying about now, and see what He may have for you to pray about and intercede for. And be involved in it. Be involved in prayer. Let God speak to you what it is you are to pray for, and then pray it. Pray prayers. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word today. And I do pray that you would speak to each one of us and just encourage. I really feel like, if anything, people need to be encouraged to pick up this thing called prayer again in their life. And even if they have to start over and start fresh, to do that. And help us to become a people of prayer. Not as a works, not as a trying to gain your favor or to become something spiritual and like that, Lord, but pray because we know it's what you've called us to do. And so I just pray and ask that this would be sealed in our hearts. And I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.